Farthouse.
Welcome to Farthouse, where we watch the artsiest, fartsiest films so that you can pretend that you did. I am your host, Casey O'Brien, and I'm joined by my little dude, Patrick Mallon. Patrick, how are you?
Doing pretty good, little dude.
Oh, it's the little dude. Oh, I have to tell you, Patrick, I had a conversation with my dad and mother last night because yesterday was Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
And my dad said he did not like the little dude voice.
Oh, wow. So that's another strike against little dude.
Another strike against. We need the pro little dude voice contingency. They need to be a little bit more vocal.
Well, because so the reason I did the little dude voice is yes. One of our wonderful patrons of the farts, Spike. You remember Spike? We shouted him out a few episodes ago. Spike messaged us on Patreon solely to say that he enjoys the little dude voice.
Very good.
So now we have one strike for little dude and one strike against little dude in our little abacus. How did your mom land on little dude?
She was, it was hard to tell what she thought about
okay.
it.
So she could be persuaded.
She's an undecided voter at this time.
Okay.
This could be a real civil war in the in the Farthouse community, I would say.
Yeah, we could have factions. There just could be sectarian Ooh. Violence between anti-little dude and pro-little dude.
It's scary to think about, really.
Where
frankly.
Do you come down? I don't know.
I accept the little dude.
You accept the little dude.
I accept the little dude.
Okay. So is that pro or is that neutral?
Slightly pro. Slightly pro.
Love that. Okay.
I kind of like it. But I it's like I have to protect the little dude because he's so little, you know?
I just imagined myself like already being little and then getting even smaller when you said
pulling
that. Like
little,
I just like little just,
dude
like
out
shrunk
of your
another size. Yeah.
Yes. The little dude must be protected. He is he's so little.
He's so tiny. Casey, how was your weekend?
Really good.
Ooh.
Big news. Trish and I rented a convertible on Saturday just for fun.
Fun.
A Mustang convertible. We drove down to Long Beach, top down. We went to the Bamboo Club. Heard of it?
No, I haven't. What is the Bamboo Club?
New tiki bar.
It's new?
Awesome. Yes, in Long Beach. Incredible. And they had a tiki like market outside. It was kind of like a farmer's market, but only for like tiki merchandise, like tiki mugs.
Oh,
tiki
yes. Bally
art.
High in San Diego does this sometimes.
It was fun. Ugh. Had a tiki drink. It was a blast.
I love that. How did you conceive of that idea? How did you decide to do
Trisha
that?
Trisha had this idea a while ago and I surprised her.
You did?
I said vroom, vroom. Yeah.
Did you really?
I mean, I said vroom vroom at some point.
It would have been really funny if you woke up in the morning and you didn't say anything except for like just vroom vroom vroom, just like saying vroom vroom vroom, vroom for like 90 minutes until she sees the car.
Until she's so pissed off, she's not even happy to
see
the
car. Yeah, she can't even enjoy it.
It's funny that she's so angry.
Was it an automatic or manual transmission?
No, it was automatic. We're not. I don't even know how to drive a stick shift.
Yeah, nor do I. What made me ask that question is, you know, I'm going through Sex and the City right now, and on the most recent episode, the ladies rented a car. They flew out to L.A. because Carrie is, someone is potentially optioning the rights to her column. It's kind of confusing.
Okay.
So she has a meeting with Matthew McConaughey, who plays
awesome.
A pretty psychotic dude.
And she famously gets paid like six figures to write like a column once a month or something like that.
It's like the most like baffling thing. It's like a couple sentences just spilling tea on all of her friends. And
yeah,
and somehow,
she has it up.
She's like a billionaire.
Tribeca.
But anyways, they rent a Mustang, a vintage Mustang,
Ooh.
And it's manual transmission. And they struggle with driving the car.
We had a little bit of difficulty because I got there and they're like, oh, we don't have a convertible for you. And I rented this like a month and a half ago. And I was like, well, I don't want a car if it's not a convertible.
That's straight out of the Seinfeld episode.
That's what my dad said. Yeah. You know how to take the reservation, but you don't know how to hold the reservation. Anyone can take a reservation. But they got one for me, and I was so sure. I was like, it was like such a hassle getting it. And then when I got in the car, I was like, this is going to be a manual transmission. I just like had this feeling, and it wasn't. But
what color
I felt
was
that
it?
Energy. It was black.
Was there any color that you would have not accepted?
No. Okay. I would have taken anything.
Like a neon green you would have
taken.
Yeah,
that would have been kind of fun.
Okay.
It was one day, you know?
Yeah, but it still could have been really embarrassing.
I don't think so. It was the first time in my life where I was driving a car and I thought, what do people think of me as a person? What does it say about, like, are they like, ooh,
was
he's got
a fleeting thought, or were you thinking about it the whole time?
It popped up several times throughout the day.
Did you keep it to yourself, or did you mention it to Trisha?
No, I brought it up.
What did she say?
She said, I don't like your little observations. No, she didn't say that. But it was fun. It was a good time.
I love that. I'm inspired by you, Casey. I want to do something like that.
Tried to play some, like, you know, convertible type songs. Can you guess which what we played?
Blue by Eiffel 65.
Ooh, that would have been good. No, we played Born to Be Wild. Just because
that's a good one.
Feeling fun. And then I played Roam If You Want To.
Oh, that's a very good one. I would have done some Spice Girls too.
Spice Up Your Life. Damn, that would have been good too. Mm. We had some jams. It was fun.
Cool. Was I love time. That. Case.
Ugh. What about you? How was your weekend?
This weekend was great. Lee and I drove down to San Antonio to see Tom and Morgan, my brother and sister-in-law.
Fun.
And we went to a show at this place called Floors Country Store to see this band called the Turnpike Troubadours. Place was packed to the gills, sold out.
Wow. Not a mask in sight.
But it was outside for whatever that's worth. that was really fun. And we hung out with them the whole weekend. Saturday, Leah purchased some plants.
Wow.
We had a really nice dinner at this place called Magpie. It was great. If you're anyone's in the San Antonio area, check it out. Great
time. But did it compare to your weekend last week where you famously had the best Friday of all time?
That's true. It's apples and oranges, I think.
Well, one was pronounced the best Friday of all time, and this one wasn't. So it seems like it was less of a good time. Where I feel
now
like
I'm
with my convertible...
I'm flung into an existential crisis. I can't really determine which Friday was better.
My convertible Saturday?
Yeah.
Greatest Saturday of all time.
Of
Put
all
it on
time.
The board.
Didn't you get married on a Saturday?
We'll have to check the record book on that.
The good thing is, I mean, weddings are fun, but like the downside is it's a lot if you're getting married. So it's like, it's really fun, but also it's extremely stressful. This sounds like a low stress day. Yours.
Also the end when we went home, we did something that I'll bring up in the litter box rundown.
Okay.
That just was the perfect cherry on top of the day.
What time did you head back from Long Beach back to Highland Park?
Probably around 4, because it takes about an hour to get back. And then we went through the drive-through at Rick's Drive-In in Silver Lake. You ever been there?
Oh, you did? I know exactly where that is. I've actually never been through that drive-through. Is it any good?
No. Mm. It was fine, but it was like, this isn't that good.
Mm. Was that your first time?
Yeah. Dolly was in the backseat for that. We fed her French fries, and it was fun. So
lovely. Lovely.
Anyways, where am I? Okay, Patrick, unless you have anything
recenter.
Else
no,
to say.
No, that was great. I loved hearing about that.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Do you love when you have stuff going on in your life?
Are you saying I don't usually have stuff
usually
going on
Usually you
life?
Don't, no.
That is so false. I am a very busy boy.
I know, I know you are.
Busting social calendar.
I think I'm very...
I choose to tell you things.
That's true. You do keep a lot from me, number one. And number two, I actually am very envious of your creative discipline, which takes up a lot of time, whereas I'm just like...
It doesn't take up that much time. I can tell you that much. Patrick, patrons, do we have anyone to shout out from the rooftops, from the cliff sides?
Yes, let me sort of navigate here to this other tab. I got so many tabs open. Okay, so Case, we have... A patron of the farts, a lovely, lovely patron of the farts, coming to us from Durham, North Carolina.
North Carolina, come on and raise up. Okay, go on.
Her name is Emily Walsh.
Emily.
From Durham, North Carolina. And Emily would like us, she was struggling between Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Only Lovers Left Alive as her favorite artsy fartsy movies.
I love both these films.
We'll do
so
a twofer because I love both these movies so much.
I'm going to give them the same score.
Oh, interesting. I will not give them the same score, but go ahead.
8.3.
That is absolutely insane for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
What should Eternal Sunshine be?
I would say that's a 7.4, if not lower.
No, 8.3. It's a complicated story. Just because you've seen it and you're familiar with it doesn't mean it's not complicated and artsy-fartsy.
I think... All right, I'm very excited. So here's an endorsement again to get on, become a patron of the Farts and get on Discord. This is going to be a hot topic on Discord, this score in particular. I think it should be... I revised my Reservoir Dogs score after hearing from Luce. I think my Reservoir Dogs score was maybe a little too low. I'm standing by this.
You remember my dad also yelled at you for that, too.
No,
Kevin O'Brien also scolded you. Admonished you.
Kevin admonished
me. Kevin's really not on your side lately, I would say.
I know. What can I do to get back in Kevin's good graces? Ask him, please.
Anti-little dude. Anyways, continue.
I don't know. I think that's too high. Anyways, yeah, so I would say like 7.3 for Eternal Sunshine and yeah, like 8.2, 8.3 for Only Lovers Left Alive.
These are two films I absolutely love.
I love them.
They're probably
them.
Both in my top 25, I would say. I
both
love them.
Both are probably
them,
in
so.
My top 30, top 50 at least. They're both 5-star movies for me.
Oh, unbelievable. I love Only Lovers Left Alive. So good. And that's why I was a little disappointed by Jim Jarmusch's zombie movies, The Dead Don't Die.
Mm-hmm. Yes, did you see some folks were talking about it on the Letterboxd Rundown on the Patreon of the Farts Discord?
Oh, I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, I've heard so many negative things about it, not just from folks on the Discord, but from everyone around me. So I never actually even saw The Dead Don't Die, even though it features a fantastic song from one Sturgill Simpson, who I love.
And it's mentioned, that song is mentioned in the movie itself. You know, Trisha, my wife, is a zombie scholar.
Mm-hmm,
her
yes.
name on the Discord is Zombie Sailor Moon.
Yes, love that.
She likes a wide swath of zombie films. Like most mm-hmm. zombie movies, she gets something out of. And
yeah,
she,
I would consider her my point person for zombie
content.
Lore. Zombie content.
She
thank you.
Hated Only Lovers Left Alive. I think that just speaks volumes.
Wait, because she Dead Don't Die or Only Lovers Left
no,
Alive?
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. She hated The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, interesting.
So I just want to say that.
That's
but
something.
Thank
That's
you,
something.
Emily. Great choices.
Yeah, thank you, Emily, so much.
If we're ever in Durham, North Carolina. And we're on the run from the law. Please house us.
Yes, please.
And we can watch movies.
That would be great. I think that would
We'd
be wonderful.
That.
Yeah.
If you want to become a patron of the farts, go to patreon.com/farthousepod. It's very easy, $5 a month. And you get to be a part of the Discord. You get our bonus monthly episodes this month. Napoleon Dynamite. I got a lot to say about this movie. So
sure
check
do.
It out. Patrick, Letterboxd Rundown, what you got? Big boy.
Not a super prolific week because, as I had mentioned to you before recording, patron of the farts and dear, dear, dear friend of the pod, Dr. Manuel Arellano
wow.
just received his doctorate in musical arts from the University of Texas, Austin, which is an extraordinary achievement. And we want to congratulate
Absolutely.
Him here on Fart House because we love him so.
Manuel's our most accomplished friend, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I don't think anything really comes close.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have Leah's a lawyer and Grant's a lawyer and Sam's a lawyer. I think Manuel is probably, especially with his next chapter, which I don't know if he wants us mentioning it, but his next chapter is very exciting too. So
yeah.
Manuel's very accomplished.
Maybe it's just that you and I are very unimpressive.
I think... as soon as we started the Discord, I started realizing that you and I are kind of
we're the like, weakest link
yeah,
in our social networks.
We're the pyrite; everyone else is the gold.
Yes, exactly.
Little gemological
okay,
humor for
so,
you. So, anyways, basically, I mentioned that because we were out celebrating that, and then I was in San Antonio with
yes.
brother and sister-in-law. So, watched two movies before. Early last week, watched Moonstruck for the first time with Nicolas Cage and Cher. Really, really, really enjoyed it. It was, there were some things that I couldn't tell if they just didn't age well or if they were criticizing certain things about, you know, relationship dynamics and, you know, the relationship between men and women and generations. And I don't know, there was stuff that didn't seem to age super well, but I think maybe they were commenting on it. I'm just kind of an idiot, but I enjoyed it. And I know Nicolas Cage's performance is kind of divisive because it is kind of like, you could construe it as kind of hamming it up, but I think he pulls it off. I think he makes
it work.
I do
too. And I just wish, I mean, Cher was in a fair number of things, but she's really a wonderful actor. And
she's excellent actor.
Of course, I'm so glad she won the Academy Award for that movie. But she, and I feel like that genre doesn't get people winning Academy Awards very often. So
no.
I
it was
think
nominated
she's just
for
wonderful.
Best Picture, too.
I wish she, I mean, I know she was in some stuff like Mermaids and other things, but I would have loved to have seen her continue being more of a movie star over throughout the years. I know, but fantastic. Was and that then, a, just a? Oh yeah. So you didn't say the second one.
Got
go ahead,
one
sorry.
Other one, but actually didn't finish it because we started it down in San Antonio and then had to get back up to Austin. So I got about 20 minutes left of Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, which I had never seen actually.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's so hilarious. Funny. It's much funnier than I had expected.
I saw that in theaters.
Oh, you did? It's very funny. I'm looking forward to finishing that because I was very much enraptured.
Yes. It's so yeah, great
just those two. What about you, Case? What'd you get up to?
I saw four films this week.
Felicidades.
Number one, Hard Eight, Paul Thomas Anderson's debut feature. We
You've
were
seen
doing
that before,
this,
right?
Yes. Okay. But I hadn't seen it since I was like 17. I liked it even more than I remembered.
Cool.
I thought it was great. I saw it for our movie club, my family little movie club.
Lovely. Is that the one
with Jamie Irving, Phaedra the Fart?
Jade's sister. Brothers.
So my brother's wife's sister and her fiance.
Yes.
So
Jamie Irving, yes.
Yes. Brady, Jade, Emily, Jamie, and Shane is also in that club.
Cool.
Beloved Shane.
Did everyone like it? Were there any dissenters?
Yeah. Very. Yeah, no dissent. No dissent.
Cool.
Then I watched a film called Miracle Mile. Have you ever seen this movie? A 1980s film?
No, the one I remember is the Jake Gyllenhaal, Dustin Hoffman.
No. Susan that's Sarandon. Moonlight Mile,
oh,
I
that's
believe.
Moonlight Mile. That's right.
Miracle
Excuse me.
Mile is kind of like... Mile? Miracle Mile is kind of like the after hours of LA. It's like this couple meets and then like nuclear war is upon them. It's great. It all takes place around LACMA.
Cool.
On Miracle Mile, where you used to live.
I used to live right by there, yeah.
But a lot of the action takes place at Johnny's Diner or Johnny's Coffee Shop.
Mm, the 99 cent store parking lot.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Jesus. But I think you'd like it, Patrick. It's great.
Cool. Who's in it?
It's on Canopy and it's on other stuff.
How many movies per month do you get on Canopy with LA Public Library?
I think it's 8.
You get 8 movies per month with
I
LA
believe
Public
it's
Library?
8.
Austin Public Library is 2 per month.
Well, that's horrible.
I know. It's shocking.
I blame your governor.
That is, the blame lies squarely with him, actually.
He signed off on that.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Okay. And then, Patrick, I don't know how you're going to feel about this.
Okay.
But Trish and I have recently become a part of a family, the Toretto family, because we've been watching the Fast and the Furious movies. We watched the Fast and the Furious and Too Fast, Too Furious this weekend. And I got to say, they were fun.
You had a fun time?
I had a great time. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of them.
So this was your follow-up to your convertible day?
Yes, exactly. Okay. It seemed appropriate.
Yeah, it's apropos.
Have you seen any of these films?
No, I've seen like bits and pieces of the first and that's it.
I think you'd actually like these. They're not like Marvel, you know?
I think I probably would like them too. I think I find Vin Diesel very off-putting. And I also
I do
don't
too.
Like
I
The Rock,
kind of...
but I know he isn't until later, but...
Wait, do you like The Rock or do you not?
Do not. I do not like The Rock.
Vin Diesel, he is like such a meathead and he's such an idiot. And apparently the most recent film, Fast and Furious 10, the director quit because of
Diesel. I read that. I loved that drama.
So Vin Diesel a few months ago was saying how when The Rock joined Fast and Furious franchise, he was like, this is what Vin Diesel said. He said, oh, The Rock, you know, he's a wrestler. He doesn't really know how to act. And I was kind of able to push him and bring out a performance that was really good. And it was like, oh my God. It was just
Vin Diesel
such
was
a baby.
Saying this like publicly. Yes. Oh my God. What an asshole. Did you see he also released like some album of weird, like easy listening tunes?
Yeah, he's weird.
He's
a
total weirdo.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
Anyways. That was the end of my Letterboxd rundown.
Wait, so you watched the two Fast and the Furious movies. You watched
Miracle Mile. Hard Eight.
Okay, and Hard Eight. That's right.
Yep,
okay.
That's
cool.
It, Patrick.
Good week,
that's
Case.
It.
Good
week. Pretty tight. All right, Patrick. Let's move on to the rest of the show. Fart. We are Fart House. We watch the artsiest, fartsiest films so that you can pretend that you did, which is why we're talking about. Oh, a movie I've wanted to talk about for so long, and Patrick resisted for the longest time,
resist.
And I finally convinced him.
I love this
movie. We're talking about Portrait of a Lady on Fire. We will discuss Portrait of a Lady on Fire and subject it to our proprietary fartsy test, which determines just how impenetrable this movie really is. But Patrick, I must ask you, which I ask at the top of every show, new listeners, this is what we do, because Patrick owns a lot of DVDs and physical media, and he loves to buy, and then he puts them on the shelf, and then he waves goodbye because he never watches them again.
That does happen quite frequently, yeah.
So, Patrick, do you own this movie, and have you seen it before?
I do not own it, but I have seen it before. I very much love this movie, contrary to the sort of propaganda you're trying to spread.
I'm kind of the Ministry of Propaganda here at Farthouse. Patrick. I have a fun category I want to add to the fartsy test that I'm going to surprise you with. Don't you dare look.
I won't
look.
Is it in the outline?
It is.
Sorry, that was a little nuts and bolts peek behind the curtain. We do operate from a bit of an outline. Not as off the cuff, if some of you may believe.
This all feels natural, like we've made it up and said it for the first time, but I assure you it's all written down. This is all rehearsed. We do a rehearsal recording, and then this is all planned out, including what I'm saying right now.
Yes.
Patrick, I love this movie. I feel like this was a big hit when it came out in 2019.
Uh-huh.
One of the last movies I saw in the theaters prior to pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Same. I'm trying to remember. The last movie that I saw in the theaters prior to the pandemic, I actually don't even remember the name of it, which tells you. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. It was like this. It was an Italian movie about a famous mafioso informant. I can't remember the name of it, but it was pretty good. I saw it in like February of 2020. And that was the last one that I saw. But so this was among the last films that I'd seen in theaters prior to the pandemic beginning.
I actually think the last movie I saw in theaters may have been Cats.
Jesus Christ.
A movie that I kind of like. I saw that twice in theaters.
You saw it twice in theaters?
One was at a rowdy screening, and we were rowdy.
You know, now that you mention it, Alamo Drafthouse is actually bringing back a few screenings, and I'm kind of tempted to go.
To Cats?
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to go.
You hate musicals, though. I legitimately liked some of the dance and song
sequences. I am curious to see just how. I mean, this just looks so awful. That's why I want to go. I want to see just how atrocious and bizarre it is. That's why I want to go.
I hate the music
though to Cats. I hate it. I hate it. Oh, it's awful.
I like the music to Cats, and here's my hot Cats take.
Okay.
When people were like, "Oh, this movie is so awful. It's so weird." I was like, what did you think a fucking movie of the musical Cats was going to be? It is the movie version of the musical. Don't get mad at the movie. The musical is crazy and stupid. Like, the movie is going to be a reflection of that. Why were people surprised? There wasn't a good version of the Cats musical.
Maybe people weren't surprised. Maybe they were just saying it was bad. They were just saying
the
musical's bad and this is bad. And ipso facto...
It was very
shit
much
begets
that
shit.
This movie is bad. I don't know. It's Cats. Cats is stupid. It's a bunch of cats running around, for God's sake.
Ugh, Jellicle Cats is among the worst songs in the history of humankind.
I'm going to put that on right after. Listen to it. Dance in my living room.
It.
Anyways, Patrick.
How did we even get on that topic?
God almighty. So I'm going to do a brief synopsis here. A Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Directed by Celine Sciamma in 2019, it takes place in the late 18th century France. Marion, played by Noémie Merlant, is an artist and painter. She has been commissioned to paint the portrait of Héloïse, who is played by Adèle Haenel, a noblewoman who has been betrothed to some Milanese rich man. But Héloïse does not want the painting done of her or to get married to this dude, because the only reason that she's getting married to this guy is because her sister was supposed to get married to this guy, but her sister did kill herself by launching herself off a cliff. Because this all takes place on this windy little island in Brittany. So Marianne must pretend to be her walking partner and paint Héloïse in secret. But eventually, all this staring at Héloïse makes them fall in love with each other and do strange armpit drugs. Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Oh, what fun. Didn't you want to live in this house on this island? I'd love to get away from everybody.
So I asked Leah this question, and she thought it looked cold.
Is she anti-cold?
Yeah. Definitely. Much like, wow. I think Trisha's very anti-cold as well, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I mean, I suppose there are aspects of it that are enticing, but I don't like the idea of being marooned.
Oh.
It looks so challenging to get to and from the mainland and this island. And in fact, all I could think about, like, throughout the movie was it seemed like Marianne has this much better life because she's living in Paris and poor Eloise is trapped on this island off the coast of Brittany. And it's just, it sounds miserable, actually. Yeah, no, I don't have anything to do with it.
You know what I say?
What?
Maroon me, daddy. I would love
you would
to
love
be...
to be marooned.
Oh, maroon but wait, me somewhere.
That is actually what? Some that runs somewhat counter. You have previously said before you would prefer to live in an urban environment. Correct?
That
you would
is
not
true.
Want to live in a rural environment.
That is true. I mean,
so how do you square these two things?
I think I square them thusly. First of all, she lives in a mansion. It's hard to say that this is it is technically a rural environment, but there, it's like she lived in her own little city of her building. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I guess.
She has servants and such. I mean, I wouldn't want to live there all the time. And also, you know, I like the reason I like the big city is the anonymity and people leave me alone. Mm. You know, where in the rural, you're very exposed. I don't
yes,
like that
yes.
feeling.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so that's how I square that, I
if
guess.
If Trisha came to you tomorrow and was like, I want us to, like, put a servant into our budget. Can we try and make this work? What would you say?
A servant?
Mm-hmm.
She has brought up the idea of bringing a cleaning lady into the equation.
No, I'm talking about someone that, like, lives with you guys and does everything. Like, she'll refill your water glasses.
Well, we have, like, a two-bedroom...
They will refill your water glasses.
We have a two-bedroom apartment. Would the servant live in the other room? Or would they... Where would they live?
They would live...
Is there a servant quarters? This is like a butler, basically, is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, it's a butler. Yeah, a butler. Okay. Yeah, they would have like a sleeping bag that they would sleep on in the office.
Oh, okay.
And it couldn't be out. They would have to roll it up and put it in the closet and...
Well, of course. They're my servant. They can't have their sleeping bag out in the
so
floor.
So if Trisha proposed this, how would you respond?
I would not like this because this is basically asking for another roommate. Even though they're serving, you know, us, I don't want another person living with me.
That's true because theoretically you would have to feed them too. It would be part of the whole deal. Like they would prepare the food for themselves, but you'd be responsible for what they consumed.
Yeah. So, well, I suppose they would do the grocery shopping.
Yes, that's pretty nice. Although, but, don't you all get your groceries delivered?
No, not really. We've done that sometimes, but mostly we go to Trader Joe's. Mm, Trisha just went to Trader Joe's today. I would not like this. Patrick, would you like this?
No. I would feel too uncomfortable. I wouldn't like it at all.
Once I have my mansion, they can go off to their little servant house and, you know, so I don't have to see them all the time.
I would like people to help me keep my landscaping nice and my place clean.
Yes.
And I suppose a personal chef would be nice, but I don't need to be catered on hand and foot.
You don't need a person to come wipe your butt?
No. But...
What if they offered? What if they were insistent upon it?
If they were insistent upon it, I would dismiss them.
Oh, you would? Even if they were like, you don't have to pay me, just let me wipe your butt.
That's worse. Maybe if they had some special magic bomb that made all of my butt pains go away, then I would acquiesce.
Okay. Good to know. This
Sorry, we deviated pretty far from...
No, we did not. We were right on course. This is exactly where we want to be.
You're right.
Patrick, I like this movie a lot because it, in some ways, it's kind of like a hangout stoner movie. You know, they're getting high, they're drinking wine, they're just kind of walking around. It's fun.
I don't disagree, but it's also very, very tragic, too. Don't you think?
It is tragic, but it's not like as tragic as poetry. It's like more of a, oh, that's sad.
That's true. But also
it's not a heart. It didn't make me cry.
I got emotional. So spoilers, fast forward. I don't know, a minute or something. You know, at the end, the first time she mentions that she sees Marianne sees Eloise twice. After Marianne leaves to go back to Paris and Eloise leaves to go to Milan to marry her suitor, she sees a painting of Eloise with a child, presumably Eloise's child. by the Milanese man. And in the portrait, Eloise's thumb is on page 28, which prior to that scene, we had seen Marianne draw a self-portrait of herself for Eloise that she could keep with her forever because she had nothing to reference.
Yes.
So that
there were no iPhones then, people. You couldn't just look up somebody's Instagram.
Which, Casey, that's a perfect segue into a question that I wanted to ask you that I was thinking about a lot during this movie, because the movie is, memory is a big thing in this movie.
Yes.
Maybe not as explicitly, but it's definitely sort of like one of the themes of this film. And I was wondering if you, I mean, it's impossible to say, obviously, but if you had to guess, do you think human beings' memories are better now or were better then?
I think people have the same capacity, but I think that people don't try to remember things as much because they're like, oh, it's, I think people are in general, individually, have less information in their brains than they did prior. Or maybe that's not true. I just feel like people rely, you know, like, I never remember how to get anywhere because I'll be like, oh, I have the GPS to remember mm-hmm. for me. Or like, I don't know.
So that I feel was like, going to be my the point in my favor. But I think I liked how you worded it better, that I think maybe the capacity's always been there. But now that we've developed these sort of like
second brains.
Yeah. But that was going to be kind of my example. Like, I think I deliberately try not to use, when I first moved to Austin, I deliberately tried to use GPS as little as possible because I wanted to be able to not rely on it. And I've noticed that I've become really adept at navigating the city without GPS. Nice. And I was just thinking a lot about, you know, in times before we had all of the visual and auditory aids that we have now. Obviously, there were visual and auditory aids in other capacities, you know, before we had photographs and recordings, audio recordings, visual recordings. But I think people were able to, because what other option do they have? Also, what are they doing? It seemed like this movie, like you said, it's a hangout movie. They're just kind of walking around. What else is there to do other than walk
eating
around?
Bread and cheese and drinking wine. But I think people are much more exposed to information now. So on the other end, I think we actually know more just information than mm-hmm. people did back then. So
yeah. Exactly.
It's a balance.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
It's a balance.
Another thing that made this movie feel, I was thinking a lot about how they were so powerless in this movie. And they had very little agency of their own. And it was very distressing thinking about it in the context of what's going on right now in our country.
Jeez.
Drop that on you.
Yes, I mean, that is, but that's one of the freeing parts of this movie is that it's, they're like on an island of women. It's like the mm-hmm. Wonder Woman island, you know?
Yes.
And so that's what makes it so freeing. Men aren't in the picture to ruin their fucking lives. And it's interesting too, because the main character, or one of the main characters, Marianne, she's in an unusual position because she's allowed to be like an independent contractor mm-hmm. basically and work. And she's only able to do that because I think her father was a accomplished painter as mm-hmm. well. So, but that's like a rare thing. And Heloise, even though she's rich and powerful, she does not have agency, even though, because she has to go marry this guy, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And I love, this is what I love about us and this show, because you helped illuminate, I think I saw this a lot through a lens of sadness and tragedy and heartbreak, but you're right. I mean, there is a lot of there's a lot of warmth too, a lot of warmth and a lot of love, and there's a lot of celebration of community of women, and
there's fun clapping.
Yes. And this is we've had these discussions before. This movie had no, we'll probably talk about this a little bit in the Fartsy test, but there was no non-diegetic music really. But that scene when they're kind of at the feast around the bonfire it's almost like it starts blurring the lines between diegetic music and non-diegetic music. And that was kind of interesting.
Where did those women come from that were singing and clapping?
They're just
on the island?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's, so that made me wonder about what the population of this island actually was. Like, what kind of community was this? Is it like a Wicker Man sort of sizable island or larger?
I don't think it's a Wicker Man situation.
I'd like to know the demographics of the island.
Wouldn't that be a fun multiverse of madness movie with the Wicker Man and Portrait of the Lady on Fire?
Yeah.
And then they let a man on fire at the end. It's perfect. Yeah, but exactly. That scene where she eats the bread with cheese and wine, I was like, ooh, this looks so good.
I know.
The food looks
really
good.
Are you a cheese guy?
Oh, I'm a cheese. Yeah, of course.
What's your favorite cheese?
I don't know.
Like, do you get excited about like charcuterie plates?
I love a charcuterie plate. I don't know if I can. I like hard cheeses. I like goat cheese. I like soft cheeses.
Is there any objectionable cheese to you?
Never met a cheese I didn't like. It depends on my mood, because sometimes I'm like, I want something mild. Then I'm like, ooh, this is too stinky. But sometimes I want the stinky.
Sometimes
you
want the stinky.
Are you a cheese guy?
Yes.
I love Cheese Whiz, too.
Oh,
give it
that's
all.
Gross. Well, actually, you know what? That's not fair.
You
cheese
are
whiz,
so judgmental.
Cheese
it's
Whiz
unreal.
On a Philly cheesesteak is great. What? Cheese Whiz on a Philly cheesesteak. When was the last time you purchased? When was the last time you purchased a bottle of Cheese Whiz?
Well, I get the little spray can of Cheese Whiz, you know?
Wait, yeah. The spray can. When was the last time you got that?
4 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay, and what did you do with it?
Put it on Ritz crackers. It's delicious.
And did you do this like while you like, was it for, did you like watch a movie or watch sports or is this just,
what do you mean? It's a snack.
Like you'll go into the, like you'll be working in the middle of the day and then you'll go into the kitchen, you'll get out Ritz crackers, spray some cheese on it, eat it, and then go back to your desk.
You forgot feel incredible joy. That's one of the steps. Patrick, one time an ex-girlfriend was in my room. And she was like, do you have any, I don't remember. She was like, do you have like a pen or something? And I was like, oh, check that drawer right there. And she opened it up and there was a can of Cheese Whiz in my bedside table that I forgot I had put in there.
And how did you feel upon her
shame?
Discovery
she,
of
she
that?
She was laughing very hard, but I was
Why
embarrassed.
Why was it in the drawer?
I think, so my thing, you know, when I worked at Intelligentsia or in the food service in general, I would be so tired at the end of the day. And sometimes you get home at like midnight or 1 a.m, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I would lay in bed and I'd drink a beer and eat snacks in bed because I was so tired.
You eat in bed?
Not anymore, but I used to.
Really? The crumbs in the bed didn't bother you?
I'm a very clean eater. There was no crumbs. But I'd usually have the plate on my chest. But okay, one time after work, I was so tired. I was I'm laying on my bed, you know, and I'm resting a full glass of beer on my chest, holding it with my hand, you know.
This is so stressful.
And I fall asleep and
oh,
a pint of beer, I accidentally like I fall asleep and the full glass of beer falls and basically it's like somebody threw a pint glass of beer in my face while I was asleep and I sprung up and was like, and I launched the glass across the room. It didn't break. It like went into another chair, but that was a wake up call.
Did you sleep in those sheets that night or did you have to remake
it? I had to change the sheets. No, it was doused in beer.
That's so gross. Was this when you were at your Silver Lake studio?
No, this was in Santa Monica. This was like literally 11 years ago. Okay.
That is so foul.
Foul? You are so judgmental.
No,
it's not
a judgment. It's just it's an objectively foul thing to happen.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I feel like they were eating in bed in this movie and rubbing some weird armpit drug in their pits.
Yeah, what? Do you know what that was? It?
I don't.
Weed? Or was it something else? Or maybe
It was something else. Mm. Never heard of such a thing.
Mm. Would you prefer, like, if you Would you prefer, like, if you had this situation, would you want to indulge your desires, or would you be too scared of getting hurt and you wouldn't want to indulge?
What is life but an indulgement, you know?
Yeah.
Patrick?
I know.
Of course I would indulge.
Even if you knew there was an expiration date.
They knew this, or there was an expiration date.
I know. Oh, no, I know.
But that's the sad part. That's what the women... These women and women in general are very aware of the limitations that are put upon them by society, you know? Mm-hmm. There is no what if, you know? This is it. So...
Yeah, I suppose you're right. There's this,
of course I would.
Okay.
Be fun to get finger banged, you know, by the seaside. Yeah. It sounds great.
Yeah, that would be fun. Who wouldn't love that?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you be open to an arranged marriage?
No. You know, it's a big thing with the...
I think we talked about this on another episode. I can't remember which one it was.
Would
but
you?
I think we've talked... No. maybe.
God. You know, it's a big thing in the incel community to be like, we should actually bring back arranged marriages.
Oh, really? Incels love... I guess that kind of tracks with their work.
Yeah, forcing ethos. Women to hang out with them in a legal capacity. Yeah, they're like, we should bring that back. Ugh, God.
I guess the upside is it's just like a surprise inside. It's like a Cracker Jack box. It's like you never know what
it
you're
is, but
get.
It's so...
But then again, it's
so
marriage.
Restricting
it's not
for
a,
the women. It's a like the women. The men still have their freedom. You know,
yeah,
they can
that's
go
true, yeah.
philander.
But what if it was like a contemporary version? Like everything else was the same about contemporary American culture, but there was just arranged marriages.
I'm not saying anything against arranged marriages. I know people whose parents were in an arranged marriage.
Yeah,
and they're happily married. But I think
it wouldn't
the practice
interest you.
Is bad. I don't think people should have to get married.
Yeah.
If
yes,
they don't want to.
I think that's probably the broader point. People should have the agency
but if
to
you're
do
like,
whatever.
You know what? It's exactly like this. It's like the show Love is Blind. If these people come into it and they're like, I want to be on this situation, then that's cool.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yes,
you know?
It should be an opt-in sort of thing where like you can go to some service and you'd be like, and obviously you can opt out at any time, but... It would be cool if you could go to some service and be like, hey.
I wonder if there is a service.
Well, there are matchmaking services, but
like
I think...
Like for like marriage, though?
Yeah.
Like, you could be like, I want like immediate engagement to marriage, not just dating.
I think you go with the intent, like both parties go with the intent that that's what they're looking for. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything that's like... Yeah, here you go.
So they go to this service and they say, matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Yeah. Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
Exactly.
That's what
exactly.
they say?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Did you feel the same way about watching this movie the second time as you did the first time?
This is the third time I've watched
it. Oh, the third time you've watched it. Okay.
I like it more each time. The first time I was like... This movie is like a PBS movie. I feel it's like so dry.
It's very dry. But also that kind of strips away the, I mean, there is a lot of emotional turbulence.
Yeah.
But as far as how things are depicted, it's relatively dry. Yeah. You're not wrong in calling it dry. I would call it
so
that too. But
I think my subsequent viewings have just opened up things even more, little subtleties here and there. And,
I like
it more each time.
Has your perception, I mean, going back to the discussion we were having before, does your perception of things seem rosier each time, or have you been kind of optimistic about it since the get-go?
I've been optimistic about since the get-go.
I think
you knew this queer romance wasn't gonna like last.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the best case scenario movie-wise? Do they escape to some other island and live out their, you know, lesbian love story? That wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. I think it just this time, the first time I found it a little sad. This time I just found it much more sad for some reason. It just
Yeah. I think it's nice.
And I do think it's nice, and I think it's a very sweet story, and I'm really glad that these characters had this experience with each other, but it's still, I found it very, I just felt sad that this is how things were for them. And it
is sad.
It was what it was, and Nothing we can do to change that now. And you're right. Realistically, what else could have happened?
Yeah.
But it's just a bummer that this is how it went at that time.
I'm glad neither of them died. That would have been sad.
Yeah. And you know what, Case? That was one of my biggest pluses for the movie when I first saw it, because I feel like that could have been an easy route to take if you're writing a screenplay. Like, what's a way to sort of manipulate emotion or try and elicit a reaction? You know, you can kill a character off in a tragic way.
Yeah.
And this movie threaded the needle pretty well. So, like, each character maybe got to somewhere where they weren't totally miserable, but also there was definitely like a string of melancholy that went throughout their lives.
I'm going to enter into what I'm going to call the spoiler zone.
Get on,
because
in there.
I have a question for you, Patrick.
Okay.
Because sometimes in movies, you're watching a movie and like someone gets killed and you feel nothing. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing.
Right.
Like a lot of action movies, you're like, oh, they died. I feel mm-hmm. nothing. Predator. So many people were dying in that movie. And I was like,
Alien.
Nothing. Alien.
Aliens.
But sometimes you watch a movie and a death, you like, it scares you because you come to feel the weight of death in the film. That is
My girl.
You know what I'm talking about? You know this feeling?
Yes, My Girl.
Okay, there's that.
Have you seen
that
My Girl?
What I was going to ask you. I was going to say, do you remember a movie where like a death made you go like, oh, I feel it. I am horrified that this character died. I can't believe it. I am saddened and I feel the full weight of this emotion in that moment.
As I've mentioned a few times in the past 90 seconds, My Girl made me feel that way. I'm sure there's others, but for My Girl is
Veda
the one that
Sultanfuss?
Yeah.
Ugh. Her little boyfriend?
He can't see without his glasses.
Oh God, it's horrible.
Wasn't that awful? I think, you know, when you're a kid, something like that is just really, really
raw.
Devastating. Even though in retrospect, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny how he died.
It's not funny, so, Patrick.
It's not funny, but it's kind of funny that a swarm of bees. Is there one that you had in mind that?
Sometimes I feel like these are both very funny examples.
Okay,
but I really felt like, oh my God, this man has been killed. And I think they're similar deaths.
Okay.
And they're both Paul Verhoeven movies. First ones that just popped in my head. In Starship Troopers, when they're doing the battle practice, mm-hmm. and the guy's like, my helmet's not working.
Yes!
And then he gets blasted in the head. I remember
that would
being like...
me too.
I was like, ah! I was like... Death is real.
Wait, how
like,
old were you when you saw that?
Well, I was in like fourth grade when I saw
Same.
That.
Yeah. So I wonder if age must
that
have
is,
a huge thing to
Patrick,
do with this.
Another time I felt that, and I was damn 27 years old.
Okay.
Was in RoboCop.
Hmm.
In the first scene where they're like, oh, let's check out this prototype of this machine.
Yeah,
and
they're
like in an office and it shoots this guy in an office. It was so horrifying. And I think it's sort of that placement of like, death in an area where you're not really expecting it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have another one, but it's kind of spoilery. I don't know if I want to...
No, share, because I have one more that I want to mention too, and I think people would be curious.
So,
about.
The Safdie brothers, I love. And one that really scared me was, in Good Time,
mm-hmm.
when that guy fell off the side of the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was disturbing.
It was because it seems so goofy,
yeah,
but scary.
Yeah,
you know,
and it feels like something that could. I mean, you hear these kind of horror stories of, like, you know, like college students on spring break somewhere,
yes.
and they're, you know, on the balcony and having a good time, and then they just make one wrong movement or do one silly thing, and then that's that.
Yeah,
it's just extremely tragic.
I think that's like my worst. I have a reoccurring nightmare. I'm at like spring break or whatever, and we're at some rooftop party, and some bros are gonna toss a girl into a pool. They're doing like 3, 2, 1, and they accidentally let go the other direction and they throw her off the side of a building.
Whoa, that's a dream you have?
Yes.
And you've had this dream multiple times?
Yes, I have.
That's creepy.
But that tapped into that. What was your one? This has nothing to do with Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but I am intrigued by this topic.
It's kind of deviates from your prompt, but
it's okay.
One that actually I think was going for a specific emotion, but I did not feel, because I knew going in, this was like when I was reaching like my peak teen movie geekdom. It was, yes. I think it was like 2004, it was Million Dollar Baby. When did Million Dollar Baby come out? Like around 2004, I think.
Around there, yeah, 2004.
And maybe. I just like, I remember walking into the theater, I was like, I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know Hilary Swank's going to die. I know that she's going to die, and that's going to be the sad thing. And I just waited the whole movie for that to happen. And I know that was supposed to be a gut punch, sort of.
But you felt nothing.
But I felt nothing. I was like, yeah, wow. That's how this is going to go.
Well, you were a teen, too. Your emotions are going to turn off during that time.
As a teen, you tend to like activate your cynicism sometimes. So I think that definitely was probably part of it.
Oh, goodness gracious. Patrick.
Yeah.
It's time to move on to the Fartsy test.
Is it time to move on to the Fartsy test? Did we cover? I mean, there's so much to talk about with Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I mean, it's just.
We actually covered every single aspect of
it. You're right.
You'd be surprised.
The last thing that I do want to mention before we get to the Fartsy test.
Yes.
And as I mentioned before, it's kind of in the context of everything that's going on. Is there's a character, I believe her name is Sophie, who's one of the servants who in Eloise's...
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't put the cast list. I usually do that on the outline. Oopsies.
No worries. And one of the sort of subplots is that Sophie has Mr. Period and is pregnant. And so one of the subplots is Eloise and Marianne try to help facilitate her to have an abortion.
Yes.
And I was just kind of thinking about, in the context of everything that's happening recently, that it's just so frustrating. And this really isn't, I don't even know really what to say, because it just feels kind of helpless, but it's just frustrating to see with everything that's happened lately. It's like,
yeah,
in almost 300 years, or I don't know, 200 plus years, we're like inching back closer to that sort of place where things had to be surreptitious, things had to be done in sort of you know, less than safe environments. And I'm not at all well versed enough to speak on what things are like for women in today's climate, but I just felt very sad that things seem like they're not that far off from where they were when Portrait of a Lady on Fire took place. I'm just like, this fucking sucks.
Yes. I mean, obviously, we're very pro-choice, and what is happening in our country is horrifying, and I hate it, and it is just another, you know, tool of the patriarchy to suppress women and control their bodies and control them and assert dominance over them. Mm-hmm. And in this, but when I was watching this, again, I take kind of a different view of this, Patrick. I thought of that scene as sort of joyful in a weird way.
Yeah.
That she needs to get an abortion. The girls are like, let's go do it.
Yeah.
And they take her to a woman. And it felt safe. It felt like a safe environment. All these women knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's a joyful thing. And this woman has control over her body in a way that they don't even... I mean, the depressing thing is this woman had more control over her body in this movie 300, 200 years ago than women in parts of the United States do today.
Yeah.
So
that's a really good point.
To me, it was like, again, it's like this like beautiful woman island where men mm-hmm. can't fuck with women, you know, and they have power over their bodies there. So it like hits at home even harder in that way. But in the film itself, I sort of thought of that as a joyful scene.
Yeah.
And
this is why I love talking to you, because I mean, there are a lot of reasons I love talking to you, but I mean, it's really because this is what's great about the movies. It sounds kind of cliche and trite, but everyone takes something different out of, I mean, it's not just movies, it's all art, but you're right. I think I was just, this felt sad and full of rage, but I think your interpretation feels a little bit more like right on, kind of. I don't know. It feels like you're right. I think it was about sort of taking control of their bodies and their destinies, and not in a super... It didn't feel, I guess... Like, did you ever see this movie called Vera Drake with Imelda Staunton? It's a Mike Lee movie.
Familiar. Haven't
seen it. It's very good, and it's very, very intense. And it's Imelda Staunton plays Vera Drake, someone that helped women perform abortions, and she was prosecuted for it. And I thought of that movie and watching this, and I think tonally they are very different, and I think it's important to recognize what was going on in this film is different than Vera Drake, or even what was that Romanian film that came out, like,
it
was like,
oh, it's like
4 months, 3 weeks and 2 days, yeah, or something like that. I think there isn't a singular depiction of these kinds of circumstances. Like, they can be depicted across the spectrum. And I think I was kind of a little bit closed-minded in my interpretation. And I like yours better.
I just felt like this movie is like a celebration of women. Mm-hmm. If you want to see a movie that I really thought was powerful and one of my favorite movies of last year, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, about the lengths that somebody has to go to get an abortion mm-hmm. safely in this country, I mean, it's harrowing.
Yeah, and, like 2019.
Yeah.
It's like fucking nuts.
And a woman who like is from Pennsylvania, which obviously like...
It's a quote-unquote purple state. It's like...
Yeah, and it's like relative proximity to very liberal cities in Philadelphia and New York. But mm-hmm. even this teenager in that film had to go like through the most horrifying journey to get this. Mm-hmm. And for what?
Yeah.
Just to be able to live a life that she wants.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's horrifying and it's very scary. But we got to keep talking about it. We have to keep talking about abortion. On a podcast I produced, we had Allison Leiby, who has a one woman, she was on a comedian, and she has a woman show in New York right now called Oh God, a show about it's like Oh God, a show about abortion. Mm. And it's about her abortion, and the takeaway from that is we just need to talk about it more.
Yeah, exactly.
And people need to talk about it, and it's just
it needs to be different people stigmatize it, not everyone stigmatizes it, but I think culturally, in a very general sense, it needs to be destigmatized and talked about.
It's so incredibly common
mm-hmm.
for it to be treated so with such taboo, mm-hmm. you know, like...
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, Patrick?
Yeah.
Switching gears here. Let us move on to the Farsi test. Yes, God almighty.
So. Very serious.
This is the test used to determine the fartsiness of a movie, which is our scale that gauges how impenetrable, unapproachable, and generally artsy-fartsy a movie is. We continually add and subtract from this list. It's a living document, much like the Constitution, but obviously much more important. Patrick, yeah, was there any disorienting editing choices? I feel like no.
I feel like no as well.
It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a biggie. Was there inappropriately long gazing? This movie is 98% long gazing, 1% armpit drugs, 1% clapping, but it's mostly inappropriately
and there's
long gazing.
An extra percent of drawing and painting. We need to
I forgot. Yeah, there's some, but that kind of gets folded into the gazing.
It gets folded into the gazing. Yeah, you're right.
Lots of gazing. The whole end of the movie is just one woman gazing at another one.
Yes.
For like 25 minutes.
It felt very long, the last scene. It was a very powerful scene, but it felt really long.
Call Me By Your Name and this movie came out relatively close to each other, and it both ends with like someone staring at something for like an unbelievably long time.
Which film do you think will have more of a lasting positive reputation or cultural legacy, Call Me By Your Name?
I think Call Me By Your Name had a bigger footprint because it was American actors. I think that has a lot to do with it. And then mm-hmm. Timothée Chalamet is one of the biggest stars in the world, mm-hmm. I would say. And this is kind of a breakout film. I think it is hurt by Armie Hammer's horrible allegations, but mm-hmm. I just think that was nominated for Oscars. Mm-hmm. It was a big moment, you know? So I think that one, but I think Portrait of a Lady on Fire is better. Not that they're the same movie.
But yeah, they're definitely different movies, and I don't really like, you know, drawing comparisons between the two, but I do think this is a better film too.
Okay, here's the new question, Patrick.
Okay, this is the one you're dropping. I have not checked the outline, okay. So I'm very curious to hear it.
Does the title of the film sound like a fake Seinfeld movie?
That's a very good question.
And I think this one does.
You do?
Yes.
I think it's not silly enough.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I think that is so... It has portrait... I think that is so silly.
Hold on. I'm going to quickly look back at some of the others to see if there's one that I can see that I think is more...
Some of the more famous ones, Rochelle, Sack Lunch, Death Blow, Cry and Cry Again.
I'm looking back at some of... I'm looking back at ones that we actually did to see if there's one more than Portrait... anything more than Portrait of Lady on Fire. The only thing I could... Maybe The Worst Person in the World? Does that sound like it could be one?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's a good one.
Blow Up kind of sounds like
blow
it could
up,
be one.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree, but I feel like it's close. It's not quite there for me. But I like that they actually say the name of... I thought you were going to do... do they say the title of the movie in the movie?
That is no gauge of artsiness.
I feel like a lot of movies have that.
Is there suicide in this movie? Yes, there is.
Yes.
The older sister of Heloise killed herself... And Heloise was like hanging out at some nunnery or something, having the time of her damn life. And she had to go back and marry some Italian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Does someone masturbate? Is there a penis in this movie? No penis to be seen.
No penis.
I feel like there is masturbation. I think there kind of is. It's masturbatory.
I don't know if there's not really any overt thing. There may be a mutual masturbation, but I don't think there's any... private solo sessions of masturbation.
Yeah, but you can tell it has the energy of masturbation.
Yeah, I'm sure they masturbated.
Are there topics, images, or behaviors that go beyond what would be considered acceptable in a mainstream film? Anything queer is unacceptable in a mainstream film.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I watched this pirate Taika Waititi show called Our Flag Means Death.
Mm-hmm.
Took a little while for the liftoff, but it's very queer. And I'm so used to... mainstream movies being like, oh, they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, just kind of alluding to it, and it could be easily edited out. This happens in Marvel movies all the time with international releases where it's like, oh, this character's gay. But it's like, how are we? You're saying they're gay, but there's nothing in the movie that made you know that character was
gay.
Right.
It wasn't part of the fabric of the film. It was like just a singular trait that you can mention as.
But. Our Flag Means Death. They do not queer bait. They have actual queer, pronouncements of love and stuff. And it's good. It's kind of fun.
And it's woven into the show.
And it's fun. Yeah. It took a little while for me to get into it, but by the end of it, I liked it.
What streaming service is that on?
HBO Max.
Cool.
Heard of it? You a subscriber?
Which that reminds me too. I have people who like to tease me for carrying water for Hulu. But I love that Portrait of Lady on Fire is streaming on Hulu. For those of you who have Hulu, that's pretty great. Hulu's got a nice little catalog.
I didn't know you were a Hulugin.
We've talked about it. Well, I don't think I talk about it that much. But people, namely my cousins, Sammy Lawboy made a meme of me with a huge boulder on my back and said, Pat, and then the boulder said Hulu.
Well... Patrick, you like to say, people love to say this about me, making it sound like dozens of people are talking about it, but it's really like two or three mean blonde cousins that are saying these things.
Usually you're on their side, though, I've noticed.
Well, it's not my fault they're correct about such matters. I don't care if you carry water
for Hulu.
There's
not that many people in my sphere, so I mean...
Is Hulu your favorite... Is Hulu your favorite streaming service?
No, Criterion Channel is. But Hulu, I've been impressed with their film catalog lately.
Mine is HBO Max.
Oh, yeah, HBO Max is... I just hate their interface. It's atrocious.
That's what everyone says. I don't know. Yeah,
well,
it's
that's
hard
because
to get
you don't
around.
Watch TV, actually. So that's probably why. Their TV situation is awful.
Huh. Oh, I've watched TV on there lately. I just told you one I watched.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. Doofus. Can Peanut start watching this movie after 8 p.m. without falling asleep?
Yes, but I watched this in late afternoon.
This would be a tough one, though. I would think you could fall asleep pretty easily.
Yeah, it's
Is there
slow.
An inordinate amount of milling about?
Yes.
Lots of millage. I take back, so it's 60% long gazing, 35% milling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some you can call this drugs in there.
Gazing and milling French style.
Gazing and milling French style. Poster titillation level. I think high.
I think like high too. I loved the poster when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Still do
the lady.
It. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
She's
poster.
On fire.
He's yeah. Hi.
Our friend Luce, heard of her?
Yeah.
She works at a video store and she recommended this to some patron.
Oh, yes.
And they were like,
but not a patron of the farts, a patron of the video store.
No, a patron of the farts would slurp it up with a damn straw.
Yeah, we just have to make sure we distinguish.
Okay, some patron of Videotech. And they were like, this movie sucked. And Luce was like, you might not have liked it, but it's unquestionably a good movie. And I always think about that.
I love that.
That Luce yelled at some.
That was really funny.
Trump supporter, probably, that was renting videos at Videotech for some reason. Patrick, what is your score?
8.9.
That's really high. I'm giving this an 8.3.
Okay.
It's not very confusing. It's very straightforward.
It's just, I really enjoy this movie, but it's a very deliberately paced.
Yeah, that's true. It's French film. Subtitles.
It's French.
It's old.
And I love the dialogue. I think that it's a very smart screenplay, but it's also very, super artsy fartsy screenplay. Just like everything they're saying to each other.
Did you dream about me?
Yeah.
No.
No, I thought of you. Yeah. Just stuff like that.
If I was a young lesbian, I would love this. This would be like, I would get this like tattooed on my butt.
What would be your tattoo?
Little flame.
A little flame. I would get page 28 tattooed.
Oh, that's better. Damn it. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Here's what I would get. I would get a tattoo of the painting after Marianne scrubbed the face. Because
that
looked cool.
That would be cool.
Okay. What else would I? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. When you, back in the day on Letterboxd, when you gave it like 5 stars, it was like 5 little flames. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. It was like sort of a partnership with the distribution company. Yeah, I do remember that.
That was cool. And for Everything Everywhere All at Once, if you said you watched it, it was a little googly eye. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. I did notice that. Yes, I like that. I like when they do fun stuff like that.
I like fun, generally. Patrick, what movie are we doing next week?
Every child says it for a tote. A tote, tote. A tote, tote.
I thought you were going to sing real lyrics from it for a second. And
I completely blanked on all of the lyrics for Mad World.
Familiar faces, worn out places.
And they tell me kind of funny, it's really kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had.
Donnie Darko, I'm excited. You're going to say, people are going to be like, is that artsy fartsy? Well, when this came out, it damn well was. It's become like a meme now, but
yeah. In like middle school and high school, if like a girl had Donnie Darko on like her favorite movies on MySpace, I was like, oh, she's cool.
She's so hot.
Yeah. And then I got too cool, and then it was lame if someone had Donnie Darko.
How the switch flips. Isn't it incredible how fast it goes?
It's like inside of like 18 months, probably.
I feel like I've had that too, where like groups of friends where I'm like, oh, hey, I just saw like this collective edition of this movie's coming out. I can't wait to get it. Oh, you like that movie? It sucks. And I'll be like, what? When did we switch?
We're actually going to be doing a double recording, so this is a great time to become a patron of the farts. We're also doing Napoleon Dynamite. So two movies that came out about a year or two apart from one another, maybe 2 or 3 years apart from one another, but had some kind of whiplash sort of fandom.
I stayed true. I have so much to say about Napoleon Dynamite, and I have so much to say about Donnie Darko.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
I thought Donnie Darko was the most amazing film of all time when I first saw it. I was like, art has not reached heights this high.
Yeah. I agree.
It's like when I saw Space Jam when I was a kid and was confused why it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. I remember.
Do you remember there was a tweet the other day from gosh, what movie was it? I can't remember what movie it was referencing, but someone had referenced the movie Rocket Man with Harlan Williams, the Disney movie. Do you remember that movie?
Oh, I saw it in theaters, yes.
Yes, I saw it in theaters too. And I remember thinking, leaving the movie, like I distinctly remember, I must have been like 8 or 9 yeah. or 10, leaving the theater and realizing that movies could in fact be bad. Like before that, I didn't know that movies could be bad. I just thought all movies were fun and great. And then I saw Rocketman and I was like, this is bad.
I liked that movie when I saw it.
I hated it.
But you know what my movie that was?
What?
Wild Wild West. I saw that in the theater and I
I liked Wild Wild West when I saw it.
That was not good.
Oh, you knew that at the time?
Yeah.
It's impressive.
That was the first time I'd ever felt that sensation.
Yeah, I felt it after Rocket Man.
Wow. Sad. A loss of innocence. Patrick, that's our show. If you want to follow us on socials, we're Farthouse Pod on Twitter, Farthouse Pod on Instagram. Patrick on Twitter is at Patrick R. Mallon. On Letterboxd, he's at PR Mallon. I'm Casey Lee O'Brien across all services. Hey, become a patron of the farts. Come on, do it. It's fun. That's it. Patreon.com/FarthousePod. Do it.
Do it.
Right, Patrick?
Fucking do it, dude.
What's for dinner tonight, Patrick?
I don't know. I'm actually...
Something sad?
So it's about 9 p.m. Central on a Monday. I'm probably going to go get tacos from somewhere.
I knew it. I knew it. Are you still eating taquitos on a regular basis?
Less frequently than I once was.
You once had an addiction. We had to check you into the Betty Ford Center.
It's not an addiction. But I still love them. It's great. What's wrong with them?
No, nothing.
Cheap, easy. Douse them in hot sauce. Have yourself a night.
That sounds great. I don't know what I'm having tonight, but I'm hungry. I can tell you that much.
Is someone cooking? Are you cooking? Trisha cooking?
I think Trisha's cooking. But
cool, cool.
Right before the recording started, I saw her sleeping. So who knows if she's up?
Yeah, you might be way behind.
I might have to go poke her with a broom handle and say, make me dinner. If I actually did that, she would then take the broom and break it over my head.
Good, and you would deserve it.
I would. I would. Patrick, what a delight this was.
A total pleasure.
I will see you next week, my friend. Actually, I'll see you this Saturday because actually we had a huge success with our movie screening.
Yes, an extraordinary live stream. Thousands of people turned out for it. It was huge.
We were awarded awards that we didn't even know we were nominated for.
Yeah, we caused rolling blackouts throughout the...
Rolling blackouts, yeah.
Throughout California.
Brownouts, blackouts. All right, Patrick, that's us. We are the Cinephile Cuties, signing off.
Bye. Patas. 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 Patas.